what does spirituality have to do with health, our bodies, and farming? You're going to find out today at Revival for a Mission. You're watching Revival for Mission. Pastor Wilson, today we're talking about what is the relationship between spirituality and our bodies and our minds and farming and all of the things that we do in our lives.
You know, actually, life is like a table with four legs. And this is really the ministry of Christ because he was comprehensive in his approach. You have the physical, the mental, the social, and the spiritual. If one of those areas of life is deficient, your entire life is really out of balance, just like the table won't really work. So it's so vital, and the Bible points this out, that your physical health should be as prosperous as your spiritual health. And it's so vital that each of us understand that interlocking arrangement. It's not only for ourselves, it's to share with somebody else, to be able to help them to live life to the fullest. And that's a beautiful obligation that we have as Christians and connection with heaven, because the Lord gives us the opportunity of serving others.
I once heard from a church member that was considering baptism, and he said, "Look, it seems there isn't anything in my life that the Bible doesn't have an opinion about." And the reason for that is that God created us. And today we're going to talk to somebody. Our guest today is very special. She sees a connection between farming, entrepreneurship, and spirituality.
And before we learn about farming and spirituality, listen to this marvelous and wonderful piece of music that will warm your heart.
Gumnandu Tembu Chesu No
just
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We will talk to Joy Kaufman now, a nutritionist who was always interested in health, but when she met the health message as presented by Seventh-day Adventists, she fell in love with it. And through the health message, she understood the plans of God for her life. Joy, tell us more about your interest in the health message.
Well, it started from a very young age. I actually became a vegetarian when I was age 9. My brother and sister knew that I loved animals so much, and they used to make the noises corresponding with whatever dish my mom would serve for the evening.
Uh-huh.
So I was so sensitive, I couldn't swallow the meat. So I started my first life experiment and decided I would declare myself to be meat-free. And my family was horrified, especially my grandmothers were very concerned, and they thought I was going to be a malnourished child.
How old were you at the time?
9. So I was very, you know, strong, and I just thought, you know, I'm going to try to learn how I can survive without meat. And I didn't know any vegetarians. I actually hadn't met an Adventist until I was near 40. So it was a journey by myself, but strongly influenced by a strong Christian home and a family that cared a lot about me.
And compassion for animals, because that's part of God's creation. That's an amazing way that your heart was touched.
I loved animals, and I really began to love people. My parents always had a missionary, like little box, you know, the little globe where you'd put your money in. And we had a heart for missions. In fact, at one point, my family was planning to pack up and move to Africa. And we were going to go to Swaziland, and I was so excited. And it didn't work out. But God planted that heart for missions and also for public health, really, which is my master's training. And my grandma, she was always into hand washing, and they always, you know, had a big garden, and they preserved their food. And I remember snapping beans in the kitchen with my grandma, and, you know, her pantry was covered with jars of food. That's what they ate in the winter off their little farm.
How did your interest in health then transition into getting a master's in public health from Johns Hopkins University, and that then taking such a turn to bring you into contact with Seventh-day Adventists, because Seventh-day Adventists are great believers in comprehensive health ministry, in the health of every individual, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What we put in will eventually be shown in what we put out in terms of our activities, our thoughts, and all of that kind of thing. So how did that transition over many years, this interest in health and your public health master's, into now working for the Lord to help people to sustain themselves? Now, that's a fascinating story. So maybe you better get started on that.
Well, it's been a great journey. And I just see how God has prepared me step by step. I studied international nutrition in my undergrad program. And it was before the internet, but it was after the first Adventist health study had been published. And so I remember I wrote all my papers on plant-based nutrition, and I kept running into this study population of Adventists, and they were healthier in all the chronic diseases. They had lower rates, and, you know, I was curious, but at the time I couldn't Google it, and so I wasn't quite curious enough. But anyway, I had this mission focus headed off actually to Brazil. I just heard Sam is from Brazil. After college, yeah, tudo bem. After college, I headed off, and I saw myself as a missionary. Unfortunately, the church that I grew up in didn't see me that way. When I asked to be blessed and sent off by my church, they said, well, you're not really a real missionary, so we're not going to pray for you in front of the church. We'll pray for you privately, but not publicly commission you.
Hmm.
I had signed up for a 3-year term, and I thought, aha, Brazil is going to have no more malnutrition when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But life happened. My sister was really ill, and I ended up having to come home. And it was really hard because the work that I was doing just stopped. And I had felt called. In fact, in college, the Lord spoke to me, Isaiah 58:8. It's a beautiful promise and a beautiful chapter, calling me personally, I felt, to a life of work for the poor. But I felt like a failure when I had to go home. But God showed me that right in Isaiah 58:7, right before the promise of Isaiah 58:8, which is a beautiful promise, it says, don't turn your back on your own flesh. And I just praise God because, you know, that tension between the external mission and the mission to our own families, I think that's something many of us struggle with. But God embraces both. And I just praise him because who knows, if I'd stayed down there, maybe I'd never stepped into a cooking class 10 years ago at an Adventist church where I first encountered the health message.
So everything is beginning to come together. Now let's join the dots to where you are now. Today you have a beautiful ministry called Farm Stew. And how do you get from where you were when you came back from Brazil to where you are now helping families and communities in Africa to find themselves better health and better nutrition?
Well, I'll hit the fast forward button. I ended up coming home, getting the master's, being a mother, being at home, moving to my husband's tiny Mennonite rural community of 700 people and thinking, I'm never going to get to be a missionary again. And I was actually at home homeschooling my children, which is where I got my first real Christian education. In fact, starting with Genesis and saying, am I going to really believe this? Do I believe this is true? From chapter one.
And the creation story.
The creation story. Yeah. I'd never been a creationist. I was a scientist. I thought the two didn't go together. But I realized if I'm going to submit to the Lord, I have to start with chapter one, believing the six-day literal creation. Mm-hmm. And then chapter two, the verses about Sabbath, that's the logical next step. So I took that step and anyway, became a Sabbath keeper, but wasn't an Adventist. I was friendship evangelized by my now best friend and only other full-time coworker at Cherry O'Lynn. She's in my church and their whole family embraced me. And I really just that friendship evangelism over a long time. But what finally made me join the family of faith was the Ugandan Adventists. So they converted, may I say. I got to go over there, finally had this chance to go be a missionary again. It was 3 weeks this time. And I went over with USAID-funded project as a nutritionist. And as time marched on, I was teaching these classes out in the villages. The villages were loving it. It was plant-based, whole foods, cooking classes. But I realized once again, I am going to have to go home. At this point, I have my own children. I have to go home. But I realized, and God just spoke to me, you have family here too. So there was deacons, there was elders, there was deaconesses I had met on the Sabbaths where I'd gone to church and I'd been invited to speak. And the Lord just impressed me, I can't necessarily stay here, but I can send workers out into the field. And so that's what I did. It was an experiment again. And I experimented first for 6 months, and now it's been 5 years. We have 42 full-time staff, 40 of them in Africa.
Marvelous.
Yes. And I just praise God. They have trained 120,000 people in hands-on cooking classes, agriculture classes. FarmStew is an acronym, actually, like other health messages. And so the acronym...
Well, tell us more about that. What does it mean?
Well, it stands for farming first, because we started in Genesis 1, and God was a farmer. He put us in the garden, and he told us to farm. So he put us to work. Then we have attitude. We've got to have the right attitude. And part of that is a work ethic. It's 6 days you labor and work, one day you rest.
The seventh day.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
So then the next one is rest. And we talk about the rest naturally flowing out of that. We also talk about the rest for the soil, rest for women's bodies, between children, making sure they get what they need. Then we talk about meals, really that cooking, the natural food from the garden, ideally. That's farm. Stew, sanitation. We start there because hand washing is so critical. Cleanliness around latrines, you see all over Leviticus. There was to be no waste ever exposed. And sadly, in a lot of countries, that's still a problem. Especially now with COVID, you know, the hand washing is so important. We've been teaching people how to use tippy taps, just a hand washing station that's just a little bottle with a stick hanging down, and the people step on the stick and can wash their hands either with soap or wood ash. Wood ash is free, and it has the same impact in terms of getting rid of germs. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's so, God is so good. He provides so many ways that are really free or locally available for people to take their care of their needs. So
that's the S for
stew. That's the S. Let me get back. Temperance. We know this message. No drinking, no smoking, no hanging around in places where we shouldn't be. Our attitude, our emotional temperance as well, keeping things in check. Enterprise, E. One of my professors at Johns Hopkins said that the most important thing we can do for people is provide jobs, create savings and ways to start small businesses. So we have all sorts of people with soy milk businesses, and we're drying, doing solar drying of fruits and vegetables that used to just go to waste under the trees, all sorts of things like that. And then finally, water. Really, we need to provide clean water into some of these villages. It's not enough to say to drink it. People need to have access to the water of life, Jesus Christ, and water physically as well.
And that's farm stew. 120,000 people have been trained in these things, or just one element of them?
Let me be clear about the 120. They're participant training days. So we want people to go through a whole program. So it's like it's like a discipleship program. So it's 120,000 participants who've come to a day-long class. So it's a smaller number of people, but that's what we want. We want a deep dive. And we actually have developed a free e-learning course. And we're really excited about that, because part of why I'm here is I want to share this tool with the church at large. You know, they're predicting famines related to COVID in the potentially billion people that could be affected by COVID-related famines. But you know what? The same places where they're predicting famines, we have a high concentration of church members. If we got this message, just like God prepared me for my calling, I believe he's prepared his church for this calling right now to be a blessing to God's people and the community who doesn't know Jesus yet but could meet him through the health message.
And really, this is a very comprehensive program. Farm stew, it's covering everything from your attitude to cleanliness to temperance to staying away from things that are difficult and wrong for you to good health habits and to good nutrition. So this is really a comprehensive program, which is part of really revival and reformation, helping Amen. People to learn how God really wants them to live. And you know, you referenced Isaiah 58 and verse 8, and it is a beautiful one. The first part, at least, I'll read. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. What an opportunity to not only teach people good health habits and sustainable production of good food, but to also help them spiritually understand there's a bigger picture to all of this.
Amen.
How do you inculcate that? How do you share that with these thousands of people that are benefiting right now?
You know, I think the benefit is that we see the Bible as one of the greatest forces for behavior change in the world. So we see, of course, spiritual behavior that's leading to eternal life. But Jesus in John 10:10, which is our theme verse, he says that he wants all people to have abundant life now. So we believe the Bible is not only inspired and wonderful and everything you can say about the Bible, I can't stop talking about the Bible, but it's a teaching tool. So for example, Ezekiel 4:9 is a recipe showing mixing grains and legumes together to form a complete protein. That's a great porridge for the children. We could stop malnutrition. In sub-Saharan Africa, 1 in 3 children are severely malnourished. So even though I had to leave Brazil, but now we have people in Brazil. We have people in Zimbabwe. We have people in, right now we're working in South Sudan at the invitation of the president of the church. And even during this COVID time, we've doubled our staff there. So God is just blessing, and I'm just excited to offer this as a tool to any of the leaders throughout the church. They can learn what we're teaching and just take it and run with it.
And where can they go to find out more information? Do you have a website, social media pages? How can we find more information about it?
Thank you for asking. We do have a website. It's farmstew.org organization. So we're a nonprofit organization run by donation. And there's an e-learning. It just, you click on the recipe. We call it the recipe for abundant life with these 8 ingredients. So you click on the recipe and you'll see the e-learning course right there. So you'll see me actually giving some videos, and you know that we've done the training, and then it's so exciting to get pictures back from places all over the world, like in Wau, South Sudan. I've never been there, but we have a flip chart where you can download the flip chart, you can download the curriculum. So we really want to put this in the hands of the people, and farmstew.org is the place to go.
Joy Kaufman, thank you so much for joining us. You've been watching Revival for Mission. In just a few moments, we have some questions for Joy that pertain to you. What are the kind of questions that you would be asking at home? So I'll see you in a few moments. Don't go away. Welcome back to Revival for Mission with Joy Kaufman. And we have a few more questions for her about health and the great work that she does, helping people understand how to live healthy, productive, wonderful lives across the world.
Joy, you have not been a Seventh-day Adventist all your life. In fact, you were just mentioning it was about age 40 or so when this beautiful biblical truth was brought into a better understanding in your own mind. One of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Ellen G. White, was a prolific writer, and we believe she was inspired by God to help in many, many different areas of life. Instruction on how to raise families, how to live a healthful life, spiritual understanding, growth in the Lord, young people, all kinds of subjects. And one of the really important things that she has brought out in a number of books, including The Ministry of Healing and Counsels on Health, Counsels on Diet and Foods, is this concept about how physical health is so important to spiritual health.
Amen.
And we call this health reform. We call it medical missionary work and helping other people to know about it and how to live better lives, comprehensive health ministry. Tell me your understanding of how this really has been vital to what you're doing.
Well, thank you for asking, because when I first heard about the Adventist Church, when I went to this cooking class, I have to say I was very hesitant about this idea of a prophet. Like, I was sort of thinking, this is not for me, until I read Sister White. And when I read what she had to say, I realized that my degree from Johns Hopkins had nothing on her. And in fact, there's books, there's two I just want to mention that you didn't mention. One is Welfare Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very powerful book. There's a whole section about how we have concern for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That if we read it, we would do ministries very differently. And I believe Farmstew reflects her intention.
Mm-hmm.
And the second book is Health Food Ministry. I believe there's many places in the world that Adventists could transform their communities, their culture, even their countries, if we were running health food ministries. And it could also finance the work of the church.
Joy, there are some parts of the world where toddlers are taught health principles, which other parts of the world, grown-ups or adults, totally ignore or don't know about. How do you communicate to the world some things that are so common in some places and so foreign in other places?
Well, behavior change communication, and I know you're an expert on communication. That is a real science. How do we get information from the head to the heart to the hands? Implementing practical things that'll change your life. And I believe the Bible is the best vehicle to do that. And so at Farm Stew, we actually find Bible verses about, you know, going outside the camp and when you have to defecate, dig a hole, bring your shovel. The Bible says that. There's Bible verses about, you know, the sower and the seeds and how to sow. You don't put your seeds. Yeah, no. It's very practical. So that's what we try to do. We try to bring the spiritual and the practical together for this recipe of abundant life.
Joy, thank you so much for joining us on Revival for Mission. I hope and pray that everyone will be inspired to hear your story and search for farmstew.org. Is that the correct website?
That's correct. And we pray that it'll get in the hands of as many church members as possible. We want them to learn. We want them to bless their communities with this message and use it as the right arm of the gospel.
Pastor Wilson, why don't you share some thoughts from the Word of God at this point?
You know, some of you who have been watching, thinking, listening, reviewing this aspect of the connection between the physical and the spiritual, you may not have completely understood it in this concept before. But in reality, the Lord has called us to be, in a very integrated way, witnesses and testimonies for Him, physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. That is what Christ did. That was His ministry. He dealt with people in a very personal way, helping them with their immediate needs, but everything was integrated. Just as Joy has been sharing with us about Farm Stew, that acronym that really is very comprehensive and helps people to fully understand their role and their obligations to themselves and to others in good health, each of us needs to understand exactly what the Bible has said. In the little book of 3 John, verse 2, there's only one chapter, so verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." You don't have to have a master's in public health like Joy does, and that's a good thing, to truly understand that we're living in an age and a time when the Lord wants us to use everything that we have in a comprehensive way to help people to be in good health physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. God will help you do that, and we'll see you next time on Revival for Mission.